The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Everybody, Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen, engineering and producing the show, and we've been watching the radar. It looks like we could get some pretty good rain here this afternoon. That certainly is the prediction anyway. It is the Buckmaster Show, and it is September the 19th, 2018. It's our midweek edition. Hope the week is going well for you so far. We're on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's place for local talk. We've got our worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. All of my podcasts, every show pretty much we've done in the last almost 8 years, is at buckmastershow.com. You can listen to those programs at your leisure 24/7 by going to my website. Our live line number is 790-2040, and this is your opportunity during the first half hour of the program to talk with Dick Grunzel from Tucson International Airport, the Tucson Airport Authority. Dick is the Vice President of Administration and Finance. He's the Chief Financial Officer. So if you have any questions, suggestions, comments about air service, Dick would be happy to hear from you. Mr. Grunzel, how are you? Your Wisconsin Badgers, oh my goodness, losing to BYU, which kind of indicates to me maybe BYU is not half bad.
I think it's kind of a combination. I mean, the warning signs were there with the Badgers in their first two games, so it wasn't. I'd say it wasn't a total shock.
No, but to lose at home in Madison, where I think the Badgers had one of the longest home field winning advantage.
Against non-conference opponents, it was 40 some games, I think, and yeah, so they snapped that streak.
As I recall, last year, didn't you go to Utah for the—
Yes, we did. We went up to Provo for that game.
So it was a home and away series. Right. Anyway, lots to talk about. I know you like college football, as I do. We'll see what happens this season. Anyway, it's been a busy 3 months since Dick was with us talking about air service. We bring him in every quarter. My goodness, those numbers are looking good.
It's really been incredible. The last couple of years, I mean, just in the month of August, the passenger numbers were up 7.7% compared to last year. And that month of August was the 26th month in a row of passenger increases. And it's, even though we've been seeing this strong growth, it's we still are down about 15% compared to where we were back before the recession in 2008. So
that is hard to believe, that we could have 26 consecutive months of passenger increases, but we're still below the Great Recession level.
Yeah, and it's just a—
What does that tell you? How people stopped traveling?
People stopped traveling, and the airlines just changed the way they were doing business, and they consolidated, and just a lot of different factors combining, for that. I mean, most of the larger airports, the large hubs are surpassing the passenger levels, and it's really— that's just one component of it. They just really kind of pulled back and focused on their major hubs at the expense of the smaller airports like ours.
Well, you and your team have been busy luring new air service into Tucson. Frontier Airlines is a name that has been synonymous with Tucson air traffic and air service over the years. They're back.
Yes, they are, and that was one of the unfortunate casualties after the recession, is that Frontier had been flying here for a long time, and they pulled out back in 2012. And they are back. We've been working on getting them back ever since then. One of the interesting things is it's still Frontier, but it's different ownership, and they've really changed the way they do business. I mean, they used to operate pretty much like the legacy carriers, American, United, Delta, et cetera. But now they've switched to what they call the ultra low cost carrier model, which is more similar to what Allegiant does. So very, very low, eye popping, low fares, which is great.
How low?
As low as right now, they're advertising as low as $34 one way from Tucson to Denver.
That's really low.
That's really low. And, you know, it's really great. They're going to be flying to Denver four times a week, Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. And, you know, the reason why Denver is so great is two reasons. Denver, first of all, is one of our top destinations for people in Tucson. I think it's, if I'm not mistaken, it's about number three or four top destinations. Between Tucson and Denver. And Frontier does have a big hub in Denver, so not only can you get to Denver for a very low fare, but you can also get to all these other connecting destinations that Frontier flies through from Denver.
So they're more into this model like Allegiant and I guess Spirit and some of these others, where it's kind of a menu pricing.
That's right.
You get what you pay for.
Exactly. The advertised fare is basically just for the seat. If you want to bring on bags, you're going to pay extra for that. If you want to get a better seat, you're going to pay extra for that. If you want anything to eat or drink on the plane, you're going to pay extra. So it really allows people to choose what they want to do. And the nice thing is it really, allows more people who maybe couldn't have afforded to fly in the past. Airlines like this really give them the opportunity to fly when they maybe couldn't before.
And it's also good because it shows Southwest that we've got some competition up to Denver.
Especially with Denver, both Southwest and United
right.
are currently flying on that route. Mm-hmm. To be quite honest, the fares, we're a little high. So Frontier coming back in and offering these fares is going to, put downward pressure on the fares from Southwest and United as well. I mean, competition is good, and we always welcome the competition here at Tucson International.
Of course, that could change the price point, which will be good news. All right, now Allegiant is an interesting carrier. They have operated into kind of subsidiary markets, or I guess a better word, Dick Runzel, is secondary markets in major cities.
That's right, and the reason they do that is typically the costs to operate or for Allegiant to operate at these secondary airports is lower, and so that allows them to keep the fares, very low. I mean, again, very similar to Frontier, and the same kind of a la carte, if you will, type of pricing where you buy the ticket at a very low fare and then add on anything extra that you might want to. That's really key to the way they do business is keeping their costs low.
So now they have announced starting November 5th, this is an intriguing area, Bellingham, Washington, near the not far from Vancouver, British Columbia, one of my favorite areas, and I think I'm not alone. A lot of Tucsonans love British Columbia. This is a real good move.
It is very good move. And, talking about a secondary airport, I mean, Bellingham, to be honest about it, is really kind of a secondary airport to Vancouver, Canada.
Yeah.
We certainly do have a lot of traffic going between Tucson and the Pacific Northwest. And, not only for Tucsonans going up to that area, but I believe the statistics is something between 80% and 85% of the departing traffic from Bellingham is people from Canada.
Really?
Who drive from the Vancouver area to Bellingham because it's the low airport costs. Canadian airports have kind of a reputation as being very, very expensive for the airlines to operate. So an airline like Allegiant can go into a Bellingham And with the low airport costs, they attract a lot of traffic from Canadian visitors because it's just so much, the airfares are just so much less.
And the taxes on, I've flown out of Vancouver a couple of times and flown out a lot of Canadian airports, Toronto. Boy, you want a lot of taxes, fly out of Montreal and Quebec.
No, that's right. I mean, there are, in other parts of the northern U.S., there are similar situations. Mm-hmm. Just across the border from Toronto, across the border from Montreal, airports in that area get a lot of Canadians coming to use airports in the U.S.
Okay, so Allegiant is going to start November 15th up to Bellingham and also Provo, Utah.
Right, and Provo being a secondary airport to Salt Lake City, it's all kind of part of the same metro area up there, if people are familiar with that. Also very close to Park City. So,
oh, I like that area. We've been up there. Yeah.
You know, in the winter, obviously just great skiing, just incredibly beautiful area with the mountains, also just the summer activity. So, you know, really these two routes are going to attract a lot of passengers both ways. And of course, we know how important tourism is to Tucson. So both of these routes are going to bring in a lot of new tourist activity to Tucson, which is really fantastic.
So the Bellingham flights will operate twice a week?
That's correct, on Thursdays and Sundays. And the Provo flights will be twice a week as well, on Mondays and Fridays.
And the return then is the same? Are the same?
Same days, exactly.
Okay, Dick, that's a very positive development. We will continue with our talk with Dick Grunzel about Tucson Air Service. But Dick, you know what I'm going to ask you next about
Kringles.
Mona's Danish Bakery. You love the Danish kringle.
Yes, I do.
I mean, because of your Midwestern background, I mean, the kringle's very popular in places like where I grew up in the Chicago area, your area around Madison.
Right, and yeah. And I actually lived in Milwaukee for a while, so in southeastern Wisconsin, north of Chicago.
Racine,
a lot of Danish people and kringles were very, very popular.
Mona's is located on the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Our friend Steve, who owns Mona's, he and his wife Sherry, and their team of bakers, they get up so early in the morning to make sure the breads, wide variety of breads are available for you for your sandwich right now. Why not toss in one of those brownies? I think they're the best brownies in town. Well, I love brownies anyway, but Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. Go to my website. There's a link to Mona's Danish Bakery and all of our great partners, like Tucson International Airport. What is your website, Dick Grunzel, for the airport?
FlyTucson.com.
Okay, we'll be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Thursday during the noon hour for a newsmaker interview with Pima County Supervisor's Chair Richard Elias. Also, historian Ken Scoville on Tucson's upcoming Modernism Week. Buckmaster noon to 1 on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030, KVOI. Worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. Midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show. It is our Tucson Air Service quarterly update with Dick Grunzel from Tucson International Airport, which is under the umbrella of the Tucson Airport Authority. So much news. We began the program talking about how passenger numbers in August were up, actually the 26th straight month of passenger increases. We were talking about Frontier Airlines returning to Tucson with four times weekly service to Denver. We're talking about Allegiant Air. Where's Allegiant Air based out of?
Las Vegas.
Are they?
Right.
Okay. So Allegiant is going to be starting November 15th with service to the Bellingham, Washington area, and then that, which is basically like just outside Vancouver, British Columbia.
That's right.
I wonder
yeah.
how far it is to the airport from there. Do you happen
yeah,
to know?
I've never been there, but what I'm told is it's about 25 miles or so. So, you know, for people in Tucson, if they were to fly to Bellingham, I'm told you can be in downtown Vancouver in less than half an hour.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so there's also going to be service to Provo, which is going to be good for Salt Lake City and then Park City. Salt Lake City and close to Park City. And then Sun Country Airlines, which I think is based in Minneapolis, right?
That's correct.
Are they coming back for their season?
Yes, they are. They came back last year with seasonal service to Minneapolis, and they're going to be coming back again. They fly three times a week to Minneapolis, you know, during our high season here in Tucson. And that's going to be starting in mid-December and going through early April. It's going to be on different days of the week this year, though. This year it's going to be on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And Sun Country, it's also interesting. They also just recently changed ownership. And the new CEO of the company was is a former top executive at Allegiant. So they've changed their way of operating also to the same type of ultra low cost model. So you know, you can expect to see kind of the same you know, type of experience on Sun Country that you will with Allegiant and Frontier, with you know, basically very low fares on the ticket itself, and then any extras you may want to add on top of that.
So we really have kind of two models in the industry, don't we now? The Allegiant, Spirit, Sun Country model, and the legacy carriers.
Yeah, that's really
is
true.
Simplifying it, or is that pretty close?
That is pretty close. I mean, if you ask Alaska and Southwest, they'll say that they're probably somewhere in between, the ultra low cost and the Americans, Uniteds, and Deltas.
Mm-hmm. I like Alaska Air. I was with them on our trip up to Alaska, and they do a great job.
Yeah, they really do. And people are flying to Portland or Seattle and San Jose now with Alaska, I would really encourage people to try them out. They run a great airline. The planes are comfortable, and frankly, their fares are really competitive.
They really are. And I want to talk now about kind of the seat capacity. This is something that you look at when you're talking about how is an airport doing? How are we doing when it comes to seat capacity?
You know, and for us, the number of seats that we have available flying in and out of here every day is really what almost kind of determines what our passenger traffic is, because obviously if you don't have the seats, the people can't fly. And
so you boil it down every month, or even every day, you probably know how many total seats are available.
Yeah, I mean, we can get the information by day, but we really track it very closely on a monthly basis. Mm-hmm. And we're able to see out typically 3 to 4 months into the future in terms of what that looks like. And what we're seeing right now is starting in November, which is kind of the beginning of our
high season,
and out through February at this point, we're seeing overall increases in the number of seats going in and out of Tucson International of anywhere between 15% and 20% increases compared to last year. So, that's just really amazing when you think about it. It really is kind of reflective of the growth we have been seeing in our passenger traffic. So the airlines are noticing that, and essentially saying that if we put more seats in, we think there are people there that are going to fill those seats.
Let's go over some of these high season activities that we have coming up, with starting with Alaska.
Yeah, Alaska, currently, daily service to both Seattle and San Jose, and then seasonal service to Portland. Well, during our busy season, they're going to be adding second daily flights to both Seattle and Portland. And again, since they've been flying these routes, they wouldn't be adding, these seats if they didn't see just the incredibly strong demand.
Mm-hmm, good. And Delta, of course, does compete strongly at the Seattle SeaTac Airport.
Yeah, they do
compete with Alaska very strongly.
Yes, they do. And Delta also has been, the last couple of years, has been flying seasonally to Seattle. And this year, again, based on the past results and looking at, the demand is going to be basically increasing that to a much larger aircraft. Once again, just adding more seats to make those available for people to get to Seattle.
Is American upping their game to the Chicago O'Hare Airport?
They are. They've been running, they started off, they had been running one flight a day if you go back a few years ago. Then they started adding a second flight during the high season. Then they went to two flights year-round. And now they're going to be adding a third daily flight to Chicago O'Hare during our busy season.
We talked about the popular destinations you were mentioning. Denver, certainly one of our top three. Well, Las Vegas is right there, too. They're one of the big destinations, and people always are wondering about service up there.
Yeah, they are. And just recently, Southwest announced that they're going to be adding a fourth daily flight to Las Vegas on top of the three that they already offer. So, it's just been kind of strong across the board in most of pretty much all the destinations that our airlines are flying.
A couple of years ago, Southwest was reevaluating how much service out of Tucson. I think we're now back on the upswing with them.
Yeah, and you know, and one indication, you know, we just talked about the adding the flight back to Las Vegas, and then also starting in November, Southwest is going to be joining Alaska in flying daily to San Jose. And you know, the Bay Area is definitely one of our top destinations from Tucson. I think that is like either two or three. I think after LA, which is our top destination, I think the Bay Area is our second top destination.
So Southwest is really upping the game here, and even a flight now to Dallas Love Field.
Yeah, and that is something that we have been after Southwest for forever to try and fly to Dallas Love Field. So for the first time ever, we're going to have Southwest flying to Dallas, and that's going to be on Sundays only to start off with, and that's going to be, I think, starting in November or December. I guess people will have to check the schedule there. But, yeah, so hopefully that is going to do well and could be a, if it does well, you know, hopefully will help us convince them that they should add daily service to Dallas.
Yeah, Dallas Love Field is kind of like Midway is to Chicago, right? For people that want more of an in-service area to Dallas, that's really there.
It is, and also being just a very big connecting destination. I mean, one of the you know, weaknesses, I guess I would call it, with Southwest service here in Tucson right now is it's not real easy for people to fly from Southwest to the southeast part of the country, destinations like Florida or even to the Caribbean. So if we had a permanent flight, you know, flights on Southwest to Dallas, that would make it much easier for people to get to those areas of the country.
So by the end of the year, we're going to have nine airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations.
That's
because right now, I believe it's 19 destinations, something like that.
I believe that's correct. Yeah, with Provo, Bellingham, and Austin and Charlotte having been added recently. Yeah, so it's... you know, just a couple of years ago, I mean, I think we were at about 14 or 15 destinations, and
this is good news,
and only five airlines. So this is really fantastic news.
And again, that website
is flytucson.com. Check it out.
All right, the airport. Good news for the airport. Things air service really improving. Dick, thank you very much, and let's hope you're. Bucky Badger and team do pretty well this year. They did drop in the ratings considerably.
Yes, they did.
Work
probably a more appropriate level.
Yes, there you go. All right, have a great day.
All right, thanks. You too.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. It is Buckmaster on the Radio, Midweek Edition, and this portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. We send so many of our listeners over to that beautiful area of the southwestern portion of New Mexico, and it's not a very far away drive. It's only about 3 hours, which is really nice. Good starting place, visit southwestnewmexico.org. There you will find the complete list of the many places to stay and several dozen recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. In our continuing look at the upcoming general election, trying to focus on a few of the more major races. One of them is in Southern Arizona, District 2 for State Senate. The incumbent is Democrat Andrea D'Alessandro, and she is with us now on the live line. Andrea will be facing off in the general against Republican Shelley Keiss. Andrea, how are you?
Very well, Bill. Thank you.
Tell me about how this campaign is shaping up against Ms. Keiss.
You know, it is a very Democratic district, and I work very hard. Yesterday, we were at the Star for our editorial review. I'm grateful to have an opponent because I get to spend money and stimulate the economy in Southern Arizona. We have interns and people working to get out our vote, and we're very, very optimistic. I'm predicting a blue wave, but the people in LD2 are working really hard to guarantee that will happen, not only for me and my seatmates, Rosanna Gabaldon and Daniel Hernandez, but the whole Democratic ticket. We're very enthusiastic about Kyrsten Sinema, and I was honored to have a house party for her May 30th, a meet and greet, and for David Garcia. You know, we have a great team of Democrats running, so it's more for me about the entire team.
And what do you think the major issue is in District 2?
Like the rest of the state, Bill, it is public education. You know, we saw 65,000 to 75,000 teachers up here and their supporters, their family, and they had a civics lesson. And also the March for Our Lives, young people were frequently in the gallery. A civics lesson, they saw Democrats day after day propose sound, common sense amendments and be routinely shot down by the Republicans. They didn't know that was happening. They knew there were issues with the leadership. You know, and Bill, I believe that absolute power corrupts absolutely. There are surveys that shows that Arizona is one of the most corrupt states. And I think people are ready for a change. I don't think anyone is safe. They have to, you know, really, people have to really campaign, make phone calls, walk on doors, drive people, help in any way they can. But I do predict there will be a blue wave.
Are you making any stands on these propositions?
Yes, yes. I'm a strong supporter of Proposition 127, clean energy for a healthy Arizona. You know, I represent all the way down to Nogales, and so many children in Santa Cruz County and in Tucson also have asthma. So more renewable energy, more solar power is just as common sense. Right now we get about 6% from renewable, and we really, you know, to do it to 50% by 2030 is an attainable goal. I'm also a strong opponent of 305, so I'm no on 305 for the empowerment scholarship accounts, which are really nothing more than vouchers that drain money from the general funds and hurt our public schools.
Do you think everybody will be on board if you are voted to return to Phoenix? Will they be on board to finally look at charter schools and have some kind of charter school reform? I see the governor now is even talking about maybe it's needed.
Yes, yes. You know, Democrats have been proposing reforms to charter schools. Not the last year, but every other year. I just had a simple bill that would require charter schools to perform performance audits. I heard, you know, you speaking of performance audits in the last segment. And, you know, the Democrats have been pushing. You know, it's really funny because so many things, you know, Democrats are proposing sound bills and the Republican chairs just don't hear the bills, and then they come and they're the, you know, the man and woman on the white horse to save the day. Well, Democrats have been seriously proposing reform to charter schools because it's not and I'm a big proponent of GrandCanyonInstitute.org, you know, our Arizona bipartisan think tank that has done research on the charter schools, and a lot of them are in very precarious situations with their long-term debt. And up in Maricopa County, one day, you know, parents go to school and the school is completely closed, and some people are making unfair profits, and it's taxpayers' money, and there's a lot of kind of insider trading. Not necessarily that an owner of a charter school having a relative or a friend as a teacher is not necessarily bad, but often they don't have to bid on contracts for custodial work, for maintenance. And there's no, you know, in a traditional neighborhood public school, there are school boards. And if people don't like what's happening, they can vote the school board out. But in charter schools, there's no mechanism like that. So there are a lot of areas that are very ripe for reform.
Tell our listeners about the boundaries of District 2, please.
Yes, Legislative District 2. I'm privileged to have Davis-Monthan Air Force Base, and I get to spend a lot of time over there. We have quarterly meetings to updates. It's southeast Tucson, down the I-19 corridor where I live in the Green Valley, Sawid Ita area, all the way down to Sasabe and Pima County on the border, and then all of Santa Cruz County. So my car has a lot of miles on it.
Now, this district, you said, is predominantly Democratic registration?
Yes, yes. And even I did some analysis of the primary votes, and just since the people who are eligible to vote in the primary, Effian Rodriguez, our county recorder's statistics, it's the Democrats have gone up about 2,000 voters just since primary day in August. So I see people out, some party people, some nonpartisan groups out registering voters, and it'll be good for Legislative District 2 Democrats.
We're speaking with Democrat Andrea D'Alessandro, who is facing off against Republican Shelley Kice in the state Senate race in District 2. Do you think economic conditions in the district have improved since you've been in Phoenix?
Unfortunately, no. You know, I am a strong proponent of revitalizing the border. We're pretty heavily militarized now. We have a lot of border patrol. We have customs and border protection. And people, politicians use the border, not only Arizona politicians, but in D.C., and they keep saying, secure the border. You know, Bill, I feel so safe. I go to Nogales. I even cross the border. And I feel very safe. And I think that people mischaracterize the border, and it makes businesses reluctant to relocate there. And that's unfortunate because we have a lot of talented people. It also hurts real estate values because people think we live in a war zone. Out-of-state people think, oh, southern Arizona, between Tucson and the Mexican border, it's unsafe. And there couldn't be anything further from the truth. Border Patrol and Customs, they do a really good job.
But you say you never feel for your own safety.
No. You know, Bill, I don't mean to make fun of Minnesota, but I'm sure there's something bad going on somewhere in the middle of Minnesota, and I'm sure that's true in LD, too. And I, you know, appreciate that our county sheriff has a big area to cover. And, you know, Aravaca, you know, it's very rural. And, you know, I'm looking for more economic development, but people have to stop bad-mouthing my district because it's culturally diverse. It's safe and historically significant, and there are a lot of great people who just love living there, and it's a lot cooler than Phoenix. It's a beautiful, you know, people come for tourism, for birding. We're trying to restore the film industry, both working with Tucson and the State Office of Filmmaking, because we have a rich filmmaking history, and it's just a beautiful area. You know, people ask, is your district urban, suburban, or rural? And I just say yes.
It's a little of everything.
Exactly.
A motto is in your district, right?
Yes. So we did have a 500-year flood over the Labor Day weekend, and I went down there on the Wednesday to monitor the situation and talk to people from Pima County workers, and because there's a wastewater facility down there, and that was okay. And then, unfortunately, people on the Santa Cruz County side. There was an RV facility that lost. Some RVs were totaled, and I know people had varying degrees of insurance coverage, and that was very sad. I went down to make sure that ADOT was down there. So the Wednesday after, they had a lot of heavy equipment, and, you know, I talked to the workers who were and I checked in with Santa Cruz County to make sure they were getting everything from the state. They were kind of surprised to see a state senator down there, but it was, you know, in 90 minutes, there were three separate microbursts.
Oh, my goodness.
Between 2.5 and 3.5 inches fell. So it was hopefully it was a 500-year flood. I know.
Yeah, let's hope so.
North Carolina. And, you know, actually, Bill, I did learn, my constituents are so wonderful. I learned a little bit of history. Yeah. You know, before I-19 was there, there was actually a lake there near the Cow Palace.
Really? We'll have to save that for another time because I'm out of time. Yes. What about your website?
So it's just DeLisandro.com. But I'm on Facebook just under my name, Andrea DeLisandro, and on Twitter for DeLisandro, the number 4AZ.
Thank you. It's good talking to you. Thank you. All right.
Same here, Bill.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments.
It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. One of our great sponsors is Green Things, now home to Zocalo, home to all that great merchandise from Mexico and Latin America. Zocalo, now part of the Green Things family, over on their 13-acre site, 3384 East River Road, by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Find out more before you even go over there. A lot of good information at greenthingsaz.com, a great starting place about all the services that are available for you at Green Things. Let's welcome now Republican Frank Riggs, a former California congressman who narrowly won his Republican primary. Congressman Frank, how are you?
I'm just fine, Bill. Good afternoon.
How close was that? Was it 350 votes or something?
Well, something like that, but above the threshold for an automatic recount.
Mm.
And, you know, on a serious note, I led steadily, I mean, from election night on here in Maricopa County, where I am at the moment. And, of course, I think we now know that there was a monumental fiasco with 66 polling places covering 95 precincts and 270,000 registered voters failing to open as scheduled on election morning, and in some cases, you know, not opening for several hours. So I'm left to wonder what the results might be, but a win is a win, and I'm very proud and honored to be the Republican nominee for Superintendent of Public Instruction.
And you will be facing off in the general election against Democrat Kathy Huffman, who is a former speech therapist with the Peoria Unified School District. Peoria, I believe, is where Superintendent Douglas was a school board member. Am I correct there?
That's correct.
Yeah.
That is correct.
So,
yes, indeed. She is a speech pathologist working, obviously, with children who have hearing impairments in special education programs. But she, while a very nice person, she has zero leadership experience, and I mean zero, not one day of leadership experience in education or, for that matter, in any other endeavor. And I have a proven record of executive, educational, and legislative leadership.
What is the big issue in your race?
Well, aside from experience, qualifications, and the ability to do the job, to assume the helm of the Arizona Department of Education and be our state's chief education officer and chief advocate for parents, students, educators, the business community, and taxpayers alike. The issue, I suppose, the clear difference is I want to focus on students and student outcomes. I think Ms. Hoffman is, she's definitely the red for red candidate, and I'm talking about the militant, organized, political, and highly partisan leadership behind that. And, you know, all she talks about is more money. I think, obviously, we have to do a better job of funding our schools, but at the same time, we have to demand more accountability, more transparency, and we have to continue to promote and support parental school choice and competition in K-12 education.
How about this initiative on the ballot, Proposition 305? They're called the ESA. Some would say school vouchers. How do you come down on that?
I am opposed to that ballot proposition. I have advised all along that any expansion of ESAs, expansion to include 30,000 additional ESAs should have been means tested to give low-income families priority and parity. We know that many of those families historically live in communities with fewer school choice options. We know they many times are less mobile. And so, you know, this idea of going to universal ESAs would absolutely gut our public education system. District schools have always been, will continue to be, the backbone of our K-12 education system. And taxpayers, of course, over many, many decades, have invested literally billions, if not trillions of dollars, in those public district schools, including the infrastructure, you know, the facilities that serve the great majority of our students. So I'm opposed to Prop 305.
We're speaking with Frank Riggs, Mr. Riggs, the Republican nominee for Arizona Superintendent of Public Instruction. What about charter schools? Are changes needed in the way charter schools are operating?
Well, you know, you of course always have the bad actors and the outliers that give the entire charter school sector a black eye. I mean, I hasten to point out that most Arizona charter schools are doing good work. Some of them are the highest performing schools in our state and country. But we definitely, again, need more accountability and transparency. And I'm pushing for the State Board for Charter Schools, which is the regulator of Arizona charter schools, to adopt new rules that very simply say a charter school cannot get an initial charter or an extension of their charter unless they have a majority of disinterested parties, that is to say, truly independent members of their governing board with no ties, no relationships to the charter school founder and operator. And then I want all charter school governing board members to have formal training in nonprofit and charter school governance, including their legal and fiduciary responsibilities and their duty to very carefully examine any kind of related party transactions to guard against even the appearance of self-dealing.
Would that be kind of the easiest fix to this, do you think?
Well, I think it would be, Bill. I mean, the State Board for Charter Schools certainly has the power to issue those rules and then provide technical assistance and guidance so that charter schools can comply with it. I'd much rather see that than legislation which would further regulate the charter school sector.
How about student performance? How would things change if you were to be elected head of our public schools, which of course includes charter schools?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. How will things change?
I will focus like a laser on the achievement gap. We know from the most recent state standardized test results, the AZ merit reading results, that 56% of our third graders are not reading proficiently. That is to say, they're not reading at the third grade level by the end of third grade. And yet we have a move on when reading law on the books in Arizona that requires third graders to demonstrate that basic proficiency before they can be promoted to fourth grade. So what I want to do is get more resources to school districts and schools that serve a high number of the students who comprise the achievement gap. We know who they are. They're students that are living in poverty or coming from low-income families. They're non- and limited English-speaking students or English-second-language students, foster children, certainly students with special needs and learning disabilities, many of our Native American students. And I want to get more resources to those harder to serve, harder-to-educate segments of the student population so that we can provide those students with the early intervention and the intensive services that they need through individual and small group instruction to close that achievement gap.
Give our listeners a little overview about your background, Frank Riggs.
Well, Army vet, former police officer who went into education, actually ran for local school board, was elected, served 5 years, including 2 years as the board president, after working with juvenile offenders, which made me realize, as Frederick Douglass said centuries ago, it's much easier to build strong children than to repair broken men. I've also had a successful career in business. I've been a CEO in both the private and nonprofit sectors. And as I think you mentioned, Bill, I was a United States congressman representing California's 1st Congressional District for 3 terms. And in my last term, I chaired the House of Representatives Subcommittee on Early Childhood, Elementary, and Secondary Education. Was recognized for my dedication to children with disabilities because of my key role in authoring the federal special education and civil rights law. Also named Head Start Legislator of the Year because I cared very deeply about early childhood education, and I understand that literacy begins in early childhood. So that's kind of a quick thumbnail sketch. But I've been involved in education leadership for 30 years at every level, local, state, and federal. I'm also the founding board president of Arizona Connections Academy, which is a statewide online accredited K-12 school with a great 15-year track record. So I really think my experience and my proven record of leadership has ideally prepared me to perform the responsibilities of superintendent of public instruction.
And I know you would like to direct people to your website.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Absolutely. Riggs4az.com. That's my last name, Riggs, R-I-G-G-S, or F-O-R, Riggs4az.com. And I'd be very honored to have the trust of the voters and be able to lead our state's education system and focus on improving our K-12 education system and expanding educational opportunity to every Arizona student.
Thank you very much, Frank Riggs. Thanks. Pleasure talking with you. Thanks a lot. All right, coming up, we've got the MedVed show, Michael MedVed, right after this program, and then Wake Up Tucson. We go back to our local programming tomorrow, 6 to 9, then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you for a Focus interview. I almost said Friday Focus. Not Friday yet. Thursday tomorrow, Richard Elias will be with us. On behalf of Ray Allen, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Be careful out there. Big rain's coming. See you later.